This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Isn't it something, all of the opinions flying around? If you have an opinion on COVID-19, would you raise your hand? Could I just see that? Okay. All right. How many of you don't have an opinion? Let me see your hands. Well, good for you all. All right. You have an opinion, Jim Bronner. That's the biggest lie you've ever told in church right there. So isn't it something, though, when you think about unity, let's just talk for a second. Patriotism is something that we've seen as a bond in our nation. And I'm a patriotic pastor. And I don't know about you, but if you remember 9/11, after 9/11, that unity that we felt for those weeks after that, because we were in mourning together. But then did you see how it faded and it went away? And you see this happen often. And we had, I think, great unity as a nation in the first couple of weeks of this. When we were asked to stay home to slow the spread, we said, let's do that. That sounds responsible to not overwhelm the hospitals. And you didn't have much debate or arguing going on. I didn't experience that with family, friends, church members. But then when the tone changed from stay home, slow the spread, to stay home and eradicate the virus or stay home until it's gone, then things started to change. People started to have opinions. And then, and we didn't even see this coming, but we knew it had to be coming, the idea of reopening. The reopening was as controversial, if not more controversial, than shutting down. And you want to talk about just even the last few days, what I've been experiencing from other pastors or other churches. And again, it's not really fair to compare what's going on at Woodland Hills in Branson, Missouri, to a church in Southern California. Very different. We've had 12 cases in the last couple of months, and I don't know if that's changed since yesterday when I checked. And we're taking every safety precaution, but you've seen pastors now start to debate one another. And I actually heard a friend say earlier this week, and he put it out there on a video, he was encouraging churches not to do what we're doing today, not to do social distancing church services. And he actually said these words, and I'm going to quote him. Kids, don't quote me. Okay, this is a guy from Southern California. Okay, they use a little more colorful language there, but I have to quote him so you can know what I wanted to say back. But he said, socially distancing church services, the quality of those services will suck. I typed out my reply. And my reply was, we're going to suck the best we can. Oh, a few of you are clapping, but let me tell you. No. I did not hit the enter button. Look at you bunch of, see, the rebels are in here today. That was half the staff. I told them what I did, and they're like, I hope you hit reply. No, I didn't. I am married to a godly woman who has taught me how to use the backspace button. And we'd be a lot further along in life had I listened to my wife and all the men said. Amen. We'd be a lot further in life if we'd listened to our wives and all the men said. Amen. That's right. So I hit backspace, 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 backspace. But I so want to do it. How many of you have held back opinions during the season? Let me just see your hands. How many of you are proud of yourselves for doing that? Raise it here across the campus and at home. How many of you have not held back? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, let me just see. All right. It's hard. It is not easy, but today here's where we start as we talk about we're all in this together. So we circle the wagons. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's been a guiding passage for us through this whole time. And not just for our church, but what our brothers and sisters in Illinois are experiencing, or in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota and Florida and Texas and California, and then our brothers and sisters around the world. Around the world, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. When you do Bible study methods classes, they teach you to be a fly on the wall. Like, picture the words coming through to the original reader. So Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and I want you to get his heart. He's wanting them to be one. He's wanting them to be united. And a lot of us have different opinions on masks, on vaccines, on all sorts of issues that are going to be discussed. But at Woodland Hills Family Church, we're placing those in the non-essential category. that you and I can still be one, we can still be united, but the only way we can be is what he's talking about here. Humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity. And you know what you need to know about make every effort to keep the unity? Backspace, 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 backspace. That's what I need. Of the Spirit through the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, and all God's people said. Amen. That is where we have our bond. It is in Christ. And that's why, and I'm going to tell you, the bond we're talking about today is stronger than the bond we have in a flag. This bond is the bond that holds us together as followers of Jesus. We are bound together in Christ. Now, you hear a lot of people talking, I'm where have I found comfort? I have to tell you, over the last 2 months, this church has been an incredible source of comfort for me. Watching you respond to each other and watching you respond to this community. Watching business owners wrestling with doing the right thing. How they've been called to minister and serve even in their place of work. Watching theaters and shows and hospital workers and banks and restaurants, fast food chains, working as one in this community, followers of Jesus Christ. It's been something to watch. It's been something to watch in this church. I haven't received a lot of comfort from celebrities in their homes telling us we're all in this together, you know, and I know there this one, I heard one say, I'm cleaning my own pool now. And I was like, oh, really? I'm sorry. But it hadn't brought me comfort. I like satire. Anybody here like satire? I need to let everybody know. I love the Babylon Bee. I could write for the Babylon Bee, but then, and I saw this, they put, and I need you to know, if you see an article from the Babylon Bee, Woodland Hills family, it's not true. Okay? Like most stuff you see on Facebook, it's not true. But it's so good. But people post it like it's accurate. But I saw this, celebrities lined up their yachts to spell out, we're all in this together. And it just brought comfort to us. And so you've heard this saying through this, off of this idea, we're in the same storm, but not in the same boat. Let me tell you, follower of Jesus, we're in the same boat. We are. Whether you make this much or this much, whether you have not been affected at all by this, or now you're on unemployment and you're figuring out what July 25th looks like when your benefits run out July 24th, and I pray you're thinking through that and not counting on government, but giving what God has called you to do and getting passionate about your work and getting back to it. But whatever, wherever you are right now in this storm that we're in, followers of Jesus, because of Jesus, we're in the same boat. We're one because we're part of the body of Christ. And a lot of different approaches over the last couple of months. And again, you know, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not called to be an evangelist. Alex Amaya, who'll be here in a couple of weeks, is. Joe White, I believe, is. But so a lot of pastors got excited when the numbers took off online. And every church saw these numbers just explode with people coming to the church for answers and tuning in online. And all across the nation, I'm sure you can imagine those numbers are going down as the crisis has gone on now a couple of months. But we chose to leverage technology to be a local church and to lean in. And some say, well, you know, you have to do outreach. And I get all that at the same time. But here are the words of Jesus. Jesus says to us, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, the way you care for each other, the way you love each other, the way you pour into each other, the world will see that. People will see that. They'll take notice of that. People have drove through some of our meetups over the last couple of weeks, and they're like, what's going on? Like, well, we're just giving out free donuts. Why? Well, hey, it's just, they're donuts. Right? Don't get all worked up over donuts. Who's doing this? Right? It's like some conspiracy theory. Just get your donuts right down there. They're going to inject you with your biochip, and then go down there, and we're going to get, we ain't got none of that going on. But you could just see people like, hey! When you're giving them free stuff. And then you say, it's just our church. just our church wanting to do it. Why? Why is the church doing this? I'm done asking why. Move the dang car along. Get your donuts. But they saw us. Felt, this is how people are. This is, you're known as a follower of Jesus by the way you live this out. If you love one another. I want to take you to Acts chapter 2, which is the foundation for this whole series. So we talk about fellowship. I've asked Alex as he comes. He's going to come at the end of the month, and he's also going to come in June. As you can imagine, we've been walking through this. Alex probably won't reopen their campus until June. But it's kind of comical to hear two pastors talk about reopening because most of the time we go, I don't know. So I don't know. I'm sharing just my inner thoughts today with you as we go through this. But this is the first time we get this word in the New Testament, koinonia. It's the Greek word for community. And here's what we read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Here's why it's important to be devoted to the apostles' teaching and the teachings of Christ. I read an illustration this week in a commentary about this where, and Adam Donier would do a much better job with this illustration, but I'll give it my best shot. You know, in basketball, you want the shot to be in your muscle memory. Do we have any athletes in here? You know, I see some people nodding. Yeah, so you know, you want it in your muscle memory so you don't have to think about it. Like when that shot comes, you're not even thinking about it. And that's the idea here. Devoted to the apostles' teaching means when something hits you, you don't even have to think about it because it's flowing out of you. It's what you do. The teachings of Christ are a part of your life. And you're living those out. It's automatic. And Travis, we had a debrief after the 8, and Travis Bronner, one of our elders, said, and he is an athlete, and he said, it's important to know because when Corona hit, when the virus hit, it was just automatic. That follower of Christ who knew the right thing to do, you just did it. And some others were like, I don't know, how do we do this? Do we care for these people or not care for these people? And so I'm grateful for our elders to say, this is not a time for this church to hold back. It's a time for this church to lean in and give more. If I could just add this part, we're going to take an offering at the end of the message, so don't think about the offering right now. But some might have asked, did you regather because of money? And the answer is absolutely not. You know, offerings and money made zero difference in our decision to regather on campus. For the 2 months during quarantine, our offerings were up about 20 to 30%. If anything, we should have stayed in quarantine. So we didn't sit there and go, oh, we got to get back on campus because I'm just grateful that this is a church with no underlying health conditions. You understand, a lot of businesses and churches are going to struggle through this because they had underlying health conditions going into this. They were overextended or overstaffed, over budgeted. They had no reserves and heavy debt. We have heavy reserves and no debt. And we're not over. So we're able to do the stuff that we've been doing as a church because of your generosity, right? That's why when this hit, being devoted to the apostles' teaching, and when you see this, I just spit right there. So that's why we didn't want the front row right there. Sorry. But this is so important because this is what you're going to see throughout Acts. When from here on out, when koinonia is used in the New Testament, it's about sharing, to the breaking of bread. Koinonia means a commonness, but everywhere you see it in the New Testament, it's referring to sharing. And there's two types of sharing. Let's give both of them to you. Sharing something with someone. It's something that you have. We read in Acts. They had everything in common. There's the idea again. No one claimed what they had was their own. And so through all of this, some of you haven't been affected. And frankly, some of you have done better through this. We're going to encourage you with your giving to do more. Like lean in, know the right thing to do. Others have been going through great challenges. And I'm just going to share this as a church. Benevolence requests have been very low, almost non-existent. And you know why? Because this town has had an influx of money like many towns in this country. Through stimulus and unemployment, people are doing very well till July 24th. And so for many of you, this is a time to be generous. This is a time to share what you have to help other people. We feel in August, right? We're not relying on other funds from government. We're being generous as a people. And we know that there's going to be need in this community in August, September, and on. And we want to be ready for that. But it's not just sharing the physical. It's sharing in something someone else is experiencing. The idea of being one in Christ together means we have shared suffering, We have shared mourning or shared grief. We rejoice together. We worship together. We're sharing in life with one another. Those are the two ways koinonia is used. James Packard defines the sharing idea this way. Koinonia, it's the Greek word for fellowship, comes from the root meaning common or shared. So fellowship means common participation in something, either by giving what you have to the other person or receiving what he or she has. Give and take is the essence of fellowship. You're pouring something in, you're receiving something. And give and take must be the way of fellowship, of koinonia, in the common life of the body of Christ. It means that you and I are sharing equally in both the privileges and the responsibilities. But there are many that gather in the church that share in one without the other. It also means that we share equally in blessings and burdens. And there are some saying, I want to share in this, but please don't call me when this happens. That's not true fellowship. A few years ago, this is probably 10 years ago now, a philanthropist contacted our church, and he loved what we were doing with marriage and family, and he wanted to make a gift to our church to help marriages and families in Stone and Taney County. He had sold his business, and you can find a lot of this out online, so I don't feel like I'm sharing too much. But he was giving away, in his what he would call his sunset years, hundreds of millions of dollars. And you're like, did we get that? No, we didn't get that. Anyway, but he asked me to come to Atlanta and meet with him and his wife. And so we went out to lunch and ordered our food. And when the bill came, I said, Steve, I'd like to get the bill. And he looked at me like, absolutely not. Why would you get the bill? And we started fighting over the bill. And I could tell because he's in that place where, you know, he's got lots and lots of money. So it's just assumed that he's the person at the table that picks up the check. And I'll never forget his wife reaching over and grabbing his arm and saying, Steve, let Ted pay for this. Now, before you think I'm a super generous guy, we were at Chick-fil-A, okay? So it wasn't a big deal. Fancy restaurant, I probably would have not fought so hard. But she said, Ted, let Ted pay. We go, we take our food, we sit down. And it was a great conversation because Steve said, my wife is really helping me learn this. I need to allow other people to pick up the check so we can have fellowship together. I can't be the only one pouring into a relationship. Now, this is very important. Don't get income levels in mind here. You have to pour something in. And Steve said to have fellowship with you and for you and I to break bread together, that we're both putting something in and we're both taking something out. This is important for fellowship. This is my friend Eugene, and I hope Eugene's watching and hears this because it's a thank you from the Cunningham family. He was my interpreter in Tanzania last year when my family was there for the pastor's conference. Multiple talks. He was standing there side by side for hours teaching and then doing Q&As. And at the end of the week, he was taking us back to the hotel and he said, I want to pick your family up later and take you out. My wife and I want to buy you souvenirs. And I remember my family looking at me like, Dad, don't let him do that. Because you all, your generosity to the work in Morogoro, Tanzania, ministering to the camps there. I mean, it's been so generous. And it just, my whole family was like, you're not going to let Eugene do this. And then we all collectively said, we absolutely are going to let Eugene do this. We're driving into Morogoro, and he gives us the rules. And I love that Eugene goes, you each can pick something little out. And it was so important. Amy and Corinne got fabric, and Carson got a weapon. And I got a rhino, I think is what I got, made out of wood. And we went back and I said, this is how fellowship works. This is how fellowship works. And here's the bottom line of the morning. You will never experience true fellowship until you give something of yourself, period. You'll never experience it. Have you ever heard anybody in a church say, And during this time, we haven't heard this a bunch, maybe a couple of times. No one's reached out to me. My question for you is, who have you reached out to? Because the bottom line is, you could leave this church, go to another church, and someone could call you every single day to check on you. Someone could call you every single day to check on you. Someone could offer to bring you groceries every single day. Someone could offer to pour into you. But I'm here to tell you, you will never experience true fellowship until you give something of yourself. And you'll be tired of that church and move on to the next church. Because we see the two sides of this coin. There are those among us who give more than they receive. And you got to be real careful, because this is a recipe for burnout. We have many people that come to our church from other churches, not in our town, but in other communities. And when they show up, maybe they were on staff somewhere, but they show up and they're like, are you okay if we just sit here for a little while? Do we have to plug in right away? And you know what we say? Absolutely. You can refresh, because they've been in a situation where they've been giving and receiving very little. But be very careful, because you don't want to be on the other side of this where all you're doing is taking and not giving. You're not going to experience fellowship. True koinonia. The sharing of what you have with others, and then the sharing in the experiences of others. So let's take just 2 minutes as we close out our service. Pause and reflect. Online, we'd like you to just take 2 minutes to discuss this. If you're here today, single, this is a time for prayer. If you're here with your family and you just want to pray, but this, just discuss this one question. In what ways do you share in the fellowship of your church? Take 2 minutes to discuss that. You don't need to quiet him down. He can speak up. He's raising his voice among us. Any noise in here right now is a super good thing. Grateful for it. What sport did you play? Basketball, baseball. You know muscle memory. We have had a hunger for fellowship during this time, and many of you, I've met several who have moved to Branson during this time in the last 2 months. They've connected to our church online. Many, this will be their first day actually at the campus. Others who've moved here are still waiting. But here's the question as we talk about fellowship, and we want to unpack this over the weeks to come. How do I join the fellowship? How do I be a part of this fellowship? And we have something here called Starting Point. And we're going to give a creative way for you to join, even online, if you're not coming back to campus right away. But here's the number one question you have to answer at Starting Point before joining the fellowship. And that is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Period. Here's what we read in 1 John 1:3. It's the source of our fellowship. It's where we find fellowship. And we talked earlier about patriotism is finding unity around a flag and around love of country. When we talk about fellowship, we're talking about unity around the person of Jesus. In 1 John 1:3, we read, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. We want you to join our fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." John Piper, Pastor John Piper says, "This puts us in an eternal relationship. Fellowship is a mutual bond that Christians have with Christ. that puts us in a deep eternal relationship with one another. And in Romans 14, 7 through 9, we read, "For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We are in fellowship with one another because of Jesus. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." That's the question you have to settle. Online and in here today, over at the cabin chapel, and those who are watching out in the parking lot. Because when we read, Paul says the same idea in Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, again, united with Christ in each other, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. We'll unpack that in the weeks to come. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Are we getting that humility message today? I hope I am. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And these have been the sweet times. Just one of the practical ways that we have done this. It started at Chick-fil-A. We threw this together, and there's been no greater violator of social distancing than this unicorn. How many of you drove by the lines at Chick-fil-A and decided not to stop? We saw it in the... Yeah, they're like, no, we're not doing it. So, over about 2,000 meals served. And then we went to Andy's Frozen Custard. And we have snacked our way through this church family, and all God's people have said, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And then we went to Krispy Kreme, and she shares my exact sentiment about donuts. And so, and then last week, we had the Mother's Day meetup with flowers and cold brew and cards for mom. So we want to do another fun one as we close. And again, we're doing these so we can stay connected as a family. And so we want you to know online, you're every bit. We are one church, multiple locations today. But we would love for you to swing through on Thursday. It's a surprise meetup. We're not telling you. How many would like a hint? Anybody like a hint? Okay. It's Thursday, May 21st. Come to the WHFC parking lot anytime. It's a drive-through. It's a surprise drive-through meetup. For any time between 4 and 6 p.m. for a special gift, a way to bless you and a way to bless our community. I guess that's a little hint that I wasn't supposed to give. But make this a priority. We'd love to see you. We just love being able to say hi. I've been limited on the amount of words I'm to use per car. And so I'm going to say hi one sentence, and then I need you to move it along to get your chip implanted at the end of the parking lot. Okay. We're going to pray, and as we pray, we're going to ask everyone in here and in the cabin and in the chapel to remain seated as we pray. You'll be dismissed starting from the back row at a time. Stephanie Watson and I are going to stick around, talk to everybody as you are being dismissed. But thank you for joining us online. We look forward to seeing you next week. There may be some changes coming. We stumbled into something, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but let's try it. There were people sitting in their cars in the first service watching one of the jumbo screens we had outside, so that kind of gave us an idea. We'll think through that, and we'll let you know, not committing that they're all back there going, he's talking too much, shut him down, turn his mic off, so we don't know. But again, we're taking this whole thing a week at a time. So would you pray with me, volunteers? You are dismissed. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we thank you for the unity we have with one another, the fellowship, the community, the commonness, the sharing, and we only have that because of you. And so we keep our eyes focused on you. For those who are not part of our fellowship but who've been watching, that today would be a day that they confess their sins before you. They confess that Jesus is Lord. They believe in their heart that he's been raised from the dead, that they would be saved, that today would be the day of their salvation, and that they would become part of our church fellowship. We would love nothing more for them to join our fellowship and to experience the unity that we've not only experienced the last couple of months and the community we've experienced through this quarantine, but over the last 18 years as a church. We are so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in this church family. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said,